Friends, the Lord Jesus gave four major discourses. Three of those discourses we've already seen are in the major portion in the Gospel of Matthew. We have there the Sermon on the Mount, so-called Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And then we have Matthew 13, the Mystery Parable Discourse. And then we have Matthew 24 and 25, which is the Olivet Discourse. Now, they are important discourses. I wouldn't discount them for one moment. And those of you that have been with us as we went through Matthew know the significance we attach to each one of those discourses. But now we come to the Upper Room Discourse. That begins here in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And as far as I can tell, this discourse is one of the greatest discourses our Lord ever gave. And not only that, it is the longest, by the way, also, but it's more meaningful for you and me today because He took His own in the upper room and revealed new truth to them. I think each one of these chapters that we have in this Upper Room Discourse, beginning with John 13, will reveal new truth. And the interesting thing is, it's brand new and fresh to us today. There's nothing quite like it. Now here, in John 13, we see Him going to the upper room with His disciples, and these 13 men are in the upper room. And as we begin chapter 13, and in chapter 13, He washes the feet of His disciples. That was a very unusual thing. By the way, at the beginning of John 12, this last chapter, you remember we were looking at the feet of the Lord. Now, in this chapter, we're going to see the feet of the disciples. And the feet of Christ were anointed, you will recall. But the feet of the disciples, now they're washed. What a difference. The Savior passed through this sinful world, and He contacted no defilement whatsoever. He was holy, harmless, and undefiled. And by the way, the feet speak of the walk of a person. And here we have the walk of our Lord. They were anointed with the fragrant spikenard that tells of the sweet savor of our Lord and the wonder of Him today. Then you will notice that He washed the feet of His disciples here because they needed washing, as we shall see. And He used water, and the washing of the feet of the disciples was by water and not by blood. Now, that's very important. I hear so many people today talk about the fact that they must come anew to the fountain that's filled with blood and that sort of thing. May I say, to speak like that, I think dishonors our Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does cleanse us from all sin. But that is the one sacrifice, and the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:14, by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are set apart. What a wonderful thing that we have here. And so we find that when you and I come as a sinner to Christ, it's the blood that once and for all cleanses us and gives us a standing before God. But, my friend, we need to be purified along the pilgrim pathway, because our walk through the world, we get a little dirty, and we need the washing. And we're going to see now that our Lord washed His disciples' feet, and it was for a very definite purpose. Now, there is given to us here a threefold reason of why He washed their feet. And I want you to notice that, because that is very important. First of all, let me read. Now, before the feast of the Passover. And there's been much controversy as to what supper is referred to in John 13. It's not the Lord's Supper, we find, at all, because actually John does not record the Lord's Supper. By the way, many of you that have heard me speak on this before recognize that there are two things that are not recorded in the Gospel of John. One is the fact that we do not have the Transfiguration in the Gospel of John, and we do not have the establishment of the Lord's Supper in the Gospel of John. This is the Passover Supper we're talking about here. And somebody might say, well, why in the world was that left out? It's so important, why would it be left out? I think the reason is, I'm afraid a great many people today are attaching a great deal of importance to a ritual. And we do know that certain churches today do just that. At the present time, the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church are having quite a controversy as to whether Romanism should accept the communion or the Lord's Supper the way the Lutherans do it. You see, they have a certain similarity, it's true. But there is a danger of us today putting too great an importance on a ritual, friends, and not putting it upon the person of Christ. And I frankly think that's the reason that John did not include it.